welcome to the Yes to Life show on UK Health Radio. I'm Robin Daly, host for the show and founder of Yes to Life, the UK's integrative cancer care charity, helping people with cancer to help themselves for the last 20 years. My guest today is someone who was already well established in the field 20 years ago when I set up Yes to Life, playing a leading role in developing UK cancer care. The particular field that Dr. Rosie Daniel has become strongly identified with over the years is mind-body medicine, or psychoneuroimmunology to give it its technical name. And in order to deliver the best in this field, she set up a training scheme for mentors to coach those with cancer and provide support at every stage of treatment and after. Since that time, health coaching has become far more established and is set to potentially play an important role in healthcare generally and in cancer specifically going forward. Hi, Rosie. So great to have you back on the show again.
Oh, thank you, Robin. It's so lovely to be here.
So today we're going to talk about a topic that's occupied your thinking for a great deal of your life, and that's health coaching, or to be more specific in our context, cancer coaching. Of course, you're a pioneer in realizing this is an important and much needed role and in actually setting up probably one of, if not the first scheme in the UK to train coaches specifically in this way. So things have come a long way since then. So we've got plenty to talk about. Rosie, I wonder if you'd give our listeners a brief introduction to yourself and your life's work and then speak a little bit about how the whole coaching thing came about in the first place.
Fantastic. Thank you, Robin, so much. Well, I'm a holistic doctor, first and foremost. I've trained as a GP, but very swiftly after qualifying, found the amazing Bristol Cancer Help Centre charity, where Penny Bronn and Pat Pilkington were pioneering the holistic model to cancer. So that was right back in 85. And I worked there as a doctor and then medical director and ultimately chief executive for 15 years. And at that time, it was coming close to the millennium. And I just was thinking, should we be looking at bringing this all back up the river and seeing can we work to prevent cancer as well as treating and helping people who were just very, very poorly and very challenged? And at the same time, one of the people who came, a guy called Mike Opie, said, why don't you're all very good at describing what you do, but you're not asking us as the clients. So he persuaded me to do a focus group study with 54 people with cancer and their families to describe their emotional cancer journey.
What a great thing to do, eh?
Yeah.
Brilliant.
So we did that in four cities around Britain and got a huge amount of data about the journey people had gone on and whether or not they had found access to the self-help resources that were emerging countrywide, because at that time there were a lot of cancer help support groups and there were emerging complementary therapies and your good selves emerging with Yes to Life. You know, there were things emerging. But what we found was that it was really random whether people found their way to these empowering resources.
Right.
And of the major findings of that piece of research, people were saying, number one, we want our attempts to save our lives seen as rational, not crazy. We want healthcare professionals trained in the full range of complementary and alternative therapies so that we can make informed choices. We want healthcare professionals who have advanced communication skills, very close to your heart.
Yes.
And we want link workers who can connect us, who can help us understand what we're going through, help us understand our needs and our state, and then get us to the right resources for us. And so whether you think of this as a link worker or a patient navigator, what I ended up with was kind of despite myself, inventing a model for health coaching and mentorship, which I called Health Creation.
Yes.
And I wrote a big pack called the Cancer Lifeline Kit, you'll remember.
I do.
Rather big, and started training people as health coaches right back in 2003. So we like you, have gone past our 20-year point. But now the whole health coaching profession is burgeoning, particularly because we now have the United Kingdom and International Health Coaching Association, led by the amazing Isabella Natrins and her team, Faye, Sarah. They are absolutely on fire with getting health coaching everywhere.
They are.
And it's they who have encouraged me now to do a specialist module called Health Coaching for People with Cancer, aimed at helping people who've already trained as coaches to upskill, but also other cancer professionals, because I've now got 40 years' experience of helping people through that journey from the moment of the shock and impact of diagnosis, through understanding treatments, through getting treatments, and on into the all-important healing journey and prevention journey, secondary prevention. You know, people think prevention is only if you haven't had an illness, but there's that's primary prevention, but secondary prevention is, okay, you know, I've got diabetes, or I've got heart disease, or I've got cancer. What can I do to undo it, reverse it? So that's where it all came from.
Yeah, extraordinarily important topics. Yes, it's needed far more now than it ever was when you invented it, of course, because things have got much worse in terms of chronic disease and the need for specialist support in that way. Amazing. So there's going to be people listening today who've just been diagnosed with cancer and is struggling to find their way forward in this unfamiliar territory. There's going to be others who have cancer but who actually never heard of the idea of a cancer coach. So do you want to do a quick sales pitch? What are the main reasons someone might consider getting themselves a coach?
Okay, well, the very first thing I would say to anybody listening is that cancer is a two-way process. It can go forward, but it can stop, it can go into remission, and it can heal. And I have people in my practice and working with mentors who are now 5, 10, 15, even 20 years past their prognosis. So there is everything to play for in terms of getting yourself in the driving seat, learning about all the things that you can do to raise your body's ability to self-heal. But in terms of what we do as coaches, what we're trying to do is help motivate, empower, support, guide people, because people say to me who are newly diagnosed, it's like I'm having to get a PhD in this subject, you know, in 6 weeks. There is so much information coming at me, friends, internet, you know, Dr. Google, etc. Quite frankly, overwhelming. And so the mentor's role is really to help people work out what's right for them. You know, what do they believe? What are their healthcare values? And to help them find a voice if they are feeling uncomfortable with standard treatment, NICE guidelines, etc. You know, to help them find out what's right for them. Because surprise, surprise, when we do the things that feel right to us, we do better emotionally, spiritually, and physically. So the mentor will guide a person through two phases, what I call health revival, where we're working on getting the body, the mind, the spirit, and the environment optimal for healing. And then the second phase is what we call life revival. So how does my life need to change to actually support me to be the happiest and healthiest I can be? Because you know that I'm, bottom line, I'm a mind-body doctor.
Nice.
I really, really find that people being on song, you know, and alive and happy and excited is the best medicine. Sounds too simple. But honestly, when people are empowered to cross tracks and maybe move away from a lifestyle or a work style that's boring them, depressing them, stressing them, into doing something that gives them excitement and energy, all the body tissues start working better. So, you know, there's a lot more to it. The mentors coach people through healthy nutrition, through finding the right kinds of exercise, improving relationships, reducing stress, finding meaning and purpose, raising vitality. It's another really big thing, because a lot of us have a personality where we're overgiving, other-focused, losing all of our precious life energy. So much so that I've started to call health creation life energy management.
Okay.
Yeah, to sort of see, you know, for us all to look at, where am I hemorrhaging my precious life energy? How do I build it and create it? And learning to say the magic word no. I'm sure people will be nodding, listening to this, because almost everybody I see are people who are overgivers and looking after everybody else except themselves.
Mm. Yeah, there's a lot of conditioning in that way. Interesting. Yes, as you say, you're a mind-body doctor. You have been all along. And it's very heartening that, you know, during the period of Yes to Life, we've gone from the point where people like you were passionate about this stuff and said it was important, but you only had your clinical experience to back that up. Whereas now, of course, we've got studies, we've got, you know, the biology of what actually happens has been tested, the biochemical processes are apparent, and you can actually see that happening scientifically, which is extraordinary, isn't it, to have the backing to say, yeah, we were right.
Well, exactly so, Robin. I mean, it is thrilling to see the evidence emerging. And this is one of the course I'm starting in January. It's a 20-hour course, so it's not a great big course, but it's hour-packed, because I'm going to be teaching over 4 Saturday mornings, and then with tutorials in between for people to practice their skills. And one of those Saturday mornings is exactly about that, the evolution of the evidence for self-help, for nutrition, for the mind-body connection, psycho-neuro-epigenetics, and all of these fascinating things that have shown us how our immune system and even our gene integrity can be affected by meditation, by loving kindness, by gratitude, by having loving connection in support groups. Mm. So, you know, back in the Bristol days in the 90s, some of my therapists would say, do you know, meditation heals your genes? And I was saying, yeah, right.
A step too far. Right. Okay.
Even for me, that was a little bit out there.
But they were right.
They were right. They were right. That, And this is the work of Dr. Dean Ornish and Elizabeth Blackburn and Bruce Lipton and many, many other amazing scientists.
Yeah.
So, you know, when Penny and Pat started the Cancer Help Center, it was all based on female intuition. And guess what? Turned out to be right.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's great because, I mean, that message, if you like, is a message that speaks directly to the part of healthcare that is totally absent from our public healthcare system. There's no recognition of the fact that it exists, that science, or that it has any importance at all or any relationship to whether people do well or badly when they've got a chronic disease like cancer. And, you know, they want to know why the results are so bad. Well, that's a good place to start, as far as I'm concerned. And if they were able to build in some genuine care that took into consideration all of those factors, how important it is to support people emotionally, spiritually, mentally, in every way, then, you know, we'd see some a lot of different healthcare and a lot happier cancer patients, if nothing else.
Absolutely.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good. optimizing your health and well-being is on your to-do list, then let Revive Active, Ireland's number one supplement brand, help you put back what life takes out. All-in-one comprehensive formulas created to offer you maximum benefit, whatever stage of life you're at, and with a range that supports everything from immunity, energy, cardiovascular health, joints, cognitive function, menopause, and even beauty. We've got you and your family covered. Premium ingredients packed into a powerful daily sachet. Simply mix with water to activate for a flavorful health drink. Perfect at home or on the go. Revive Active. Available at selected Holland & Barrett stores, Well Pharmacies, and online at Amazon and reviveactive.com. Super supplements for a super you.
When you vacation with Norwegian Cruise Line, every day is a new day. Get a taste for Barcelona, then savor incredible dining options back on board one day. Connect to ancient history in Athens, and then disconnect completely in our spa another day. Wherever the sea breeze takes you, come aboard and experience a different tomorrow with NCL. Visit ncl.com, call your travel agent, or call 0333-336-1472. Norwegian Cruise Line, Ships Registry, the Bahamas and USA.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
First person who tuned us into this world was Dr. Stephen Greer, psychosocial oncologist, who showed that just 2 years into a breast cancer diagnosis, women who started day one with fighting spirit, 80% were alive, and women who day one went into helplessness and hopelessness, only 20% were alive. So there was a 60% difference, survival difference, depending on coping style. And Professor Leslie Walker has shown how that how adversely depression affects survival. And conversely, groups where the people have been supported to tackle depression and isolation and to move into positive coping styles, there's been huge advances with survival, not just happiness and positive mind, but actual survival. So there is everything to play for. And
there is.
You know, these interventions are cheap by comparison with medicine. You know, Carol Sikora, Professor Carol Sikora, great supporter of holistic medicine. There was one study on diet and exercise, the San Diego study, that showed that women who both started to eat a healthy vegetable-based diet and exercise improved their survival rate by something like 49%. And Carol went on, you know, on record to say there is no treatment for breast cancer which has such a good outcome.
Right.
And that's free. It's, I mean, obviously we have to buy our food and what have you, but
mostly free there. Yeah.
Doesn't cost the NHS a penny.
No, that's absolutely right. Yeah, well, it's stunning stuff, and it's so heartening that we don't have to skulk around this stuff anymore around the back. We can actually shout about it because it's science, and the people who are trying to deny it simply won't look at the science. Okay, that's great. A very important step along the way, I think, in bringing this science to the fore and bringing the importance of other factors into the mix has been Kelly Turner's research and Radical Remission book. I think that's a massive contribution to making people wake up to the fact that, you know, these simple choices that people are making, that they are putting down their success to, are, you know, they're extremely important, and they're not medical choices. Only a couple of them are even practical complementary and alternative medicine choices. You know, most of them are to do with their mindset, to do with their relationship to their life, That kind of thing, you know, they're in it's rather that sort of esoteric territory by healthcare standards, but it's true. It's a fact.
Well, all the work that's been done on radical remission and unusual survival constellates around belief.
Yes.
You know, belief in our own ability to heal, belief in our therapists. Sometimes some people, it's belief in a higher power or divine healing. It's people who use belief-based therapies, hypnotherapy, visualization, imaging, to see in their mind's eye an outcome which is positive. And so it's about becoming the architect of your future and seeing yourself. There are visualizations on my Dr. Rosie Daniel website, which are free of charge and accessible to everybody. And one of them is called Repairing Your Timeline, because when you have a diagnosis, people say their sense of future collapses.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a visualization leading people through gently, okay, there's been a car crash, but you're okay, you're alive, getting out the car, shaking off that mantle of illness, and then seeing down your timeline in 1 year, 2 years, 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, reopening up your sense of future.
Right.
So that's powerful. And there are other visualization techniques too. The classic Simonton techniques of seeing everything, all illness gone.
Mm-hmm.
But there's another lovely one I've put in there that originated from Herbert Benson about what he called remembered wellness. So taking yourself to remembering the fittest, strongest, you know, in your trousers you ever felt.
Right.
And just powering yourself up, or seeing yourself as a strong totem, or, you know, some symbol of power for yourself. The mind is so powerful.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Okay, so look, back to the coaching. Maybe you could just sort of highlight some key points along the spectrum of experiences that people with cancer have to deal with, and the way that a coach can interact with them and help them through that.
So from the research we did way back along in the 90s called Meeting the Needs of People with Cancer for Support and Self-Management, we mapped this into 12 absolutely essential needs. And they run through, obviously, facing getting tests, receiving diagnoses, all the feelings of isolation and fears of doctors and hospitals, but then a crunchy one, making an informed treatment decision. So holding people long enough so that they know what they really want and have really looked at both sides of the story. And then, of course, going through the treatment, facing losses that the treatment may bring. Another point is coping with the end of treatment.
Yeah.
A lot of people say, you know, they feel quite well supported while they have all these appointments and nurses and other people helping them, but then it can finish. And then the reality of what's going on can come flooding in. There's also a role a coach can do in terms of helping people prepare for treatment, because there's talk now of prehabilitation.
Yes.
This idea that you prepare for chemo or surgery or radio as if you were going to climb Kilimanjaro. And they're showing now that people who are fit and doing high intensity exercise not just tolerate chemo better, but have better outcomes because they're fit and, you know, they're not struggling so much with the impact of the chemo. And then, of course, we go on to the question of helping people the really big point of coaching is the transformational potential in the crisis. So, you know, and Penny Bron was the one who first said that the Chinese symbol for crisis had within it both danger and opportunity. So the clever Chinese have known, you know, always that that a crisis like this can crack us open. It can put us into what's called liminal space, from which change is possible. For most of us, change is really hard,
yeah,
because we're stuck in our uncomfortable comfort zone. But when we have a big shock like this, actually, change becomes possible. And when you get the right loving, kind, compassionate support to see, well, what might have been the reasons why I got ill? What could the message of this illness be? And most important of all, where is life for me now? Where is life coming from? What are the things that make, if I wake up in the morning, it's a woohoo, you know? It's I'm doing my singing today, or my flying, or my whatever it might be, that really gets the heart going a little faster. And I've seen over the years so many people who've been coached and encouraged to make that leap into a new lifestyle, and then just continue to get better and better and better and go into long-term remission.
Right.
So, you know, that's for me the heart of the matter. Of course, as coaches, we want to help people through all the tough things, to know their own mind, you know, and to get into their power. But mainly we want to get them into their life and to come alive.
Mm. Very important. Oh, fantastic. Yeah. And really is making the best of this very difficult circumstance to actually see the opportunities that are in it. And yeah, we need some help to do that often, because it looks pretty bleak. So fantastic role for a coach. I also was, when you spoke about the end of treatment from that point there, this is something that's been talked about for a long time. Got recognised that this was actually a really bad point, 10 years ago at least. And has anything been done about it? Well, I don't think so really. But a coach is in a great position to actually be able to anticipate this with somebody and kind of plan for it, if you like, expect it, and thereby it will be different inherently.
Well, in my vision, Robin, ideally people would have a mentor from the day they're diagnosed, or the day they started having symptoms, because you know, having somebody alongside you on that journey as you go through and find out about these things, who knows how to help deal with shock and how to give space for shock and grief. And I mean, one of my bugbears is people not having treatments when they are in shock and fear, because it's been proven that we do less well. We have more complications. Guess what? The body's full of adrenaline. You know, it doesn't self-heal so well. But if we had a mentor who took people through that pre-treatment phase, the treatment phase, and then on into the prevention phase, and was with somebody, say, for a year, that would be absolutely superb. And at the moment, I'm hopeful, because UKI HCA is putting so much focus on the value of health coaching and mentorship, I'm hopeful that this will come about and that this integration will happen. But the more of us there are, the more people who train as health creation mentors and cancer coaches, the more of a voice we get and a lobby we can become.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Hey, are you tired of the irritation you get down there from pads and other bladder weakness products? Tena-sensitive care pads are the first ever bladder weakness pads enriched with a skin comfort formula. The skin-friendly layer in combination with the soft, 100% breathable materials helps protect intimate skin from irritation. And as always, you have triple protection from leaks, odor, and moisture. Gynecologist tested and dermatologically approved by the Skin Health Alliance. Look for Tena-sensitive care pads with the skin comfort formula online and in stores now.
Apples and pears, beef and Skittles, cider with Rosie, common or garden, Ant and Dec, fish and chips, mum and dad.
UK Health Radio and Health Triangle magazine. Each is good by itself, but enjoying both is always better. Add Health Triangle magazine to your monthly health regime. Check it out at ukhealthradio.com. Strawberries
and cream. A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
The station that makes you feel good.
Just on what cancer coaches are offering to people, there's one other thing that struck me. You were talking about, well, that experience you have in the first few weeks of being buried in information. And one of the things that's so hard, I've realized from my own experience and from having shared the experience of so many other people, is that it's not necessarily the quality of what's there in terms of information, but it's also the relevance that you can't sort out. Everything seems to be equally important at the time. And but there isn't, that's not the case, of course. If we actually knew ourselves, we'd know, well, look, the really important thing right now is this here. We need to look into this. And then we can put the other stuff on hold and look at it when its time comes. But to be able to do that yourself takes an enormous amount of inquiry. And to have somebody there to help guide you gently towards the things that really matter, to tell you why they really matter now, I can imagine that's fantastic.
Yeah. Well, you're such a well-made point, Robin, because, and this is why, when I work with people with my integrated medicine doctor hat on, I talk about phases and levels. So, you know, when we're in that pre-treatment phase, the focus is on shock and grief and sifting through the choices being given and knowing our own healthcare values. When we get into treatment, we need to be focusing absolutely on being adequately nourished and exercised and oxygenated, but also having complementary first aid to offset the side effects of treatment. So there's an awful lot that people can do during that phase. But the real place that when people get to that end of treatment, for me, that's when the work begins, because that's when we're looking at the new life, the new me, and how am I going to prevent this for the long term? And of course, there are a few people I meet who don't want anything to do with conventional medicine and who start off looking at alternatives from the get-go. But usually, most of the people I see go for a best of both worlds approach, integrating some parts of orthodoxy with self-help, complementary therapies, spiritual guidance, and so forth. But with my integrated medicine doctor hat on, and there are lots of us, I'm one of, you know, a growing number of doctors who will help people to work out the nitty-gritty. Am I safe not to have orthodox medicine? You know, have I got time to try a fully holistic approach before automatically saying yes to orthodox medicine? So I think that is more the scope of practice of an integrative medicine doctor than a coach. You know, the coach is really helping you to be the best version of you can be. But you do need some medical knowledge to help guide people as to whether it's safe to take
a
picture.
I mean, what you've talked about is it just shows how many decisions there are and how many levels there are on as well. You know, from whole life decisions to or practical choices. Yeah, it's quite a thing to negotiate.
And let's remember families and close ones. One of the coaching modules that I also offer is for people who are in that family or close one position who tend to forget all about themselves. So all of the eyes are on the person that's ill. Everything is about them. And people can fail to realize that this may be a marathon, not a sprint. And they can get really exhausted and deplete and not be properly tuning into their own needs. So that is a whole separate role for a cancer coach, which is to see if we can engage people who are carers, not only in learning how to be a fantastically good carer, but also having a self-help strategy so that we can be nourishing ourselves, you know, for if this is a long-term journey, and thinking about ourselves, keeping ourselves in the picture. And the other big one is the spiritual side of it, because, of course, the minute people get this diagnosis, it throws up all the big existential questions. Who am I? What is life? What is dying? What happens when we die? Do I believe in life after death? And so on. But practically, you know, do I need to make preparations and think about what happens if I am not here? And so this is another beautiful part of the work that can happen if people are brave enough to look at these big questions, because there can be so much fear caught up in that bundle that people can be using all their energy to push that away rather than using that energy to heal.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. What a relief to have maybe dealt with a lot of that stuff and feel comfortable with it. Yeah, absolutely right. Great. Well, yeah, there's so many potential areas there in which somebody can step in and support somebody and be helpful to them. These are all battles that people are fighting on their own. It's going round and round their heads and horrendous at the same time as, you know, actually maybe feeling terrible. Support is a great thing. So, yeah, you were just mentioning about the trajectory of coaching itself. So coaching has come a long way since you were setting up, however many years ago it was, 20 years ago plus. But it's, funnily enough, my experience is that one of the best things for coaching and for a number of other things has been the COVID pandemic. There's actually changed attitudes towards health promotion, towards prevention, towards self-care, all these things. Well-being was a wacky word that a few people in the West Country did. But by the end of the pandemic, people knew that people whose well-being was not that good, they just died in the face of a bug like COVID. And other people just had flu. And, you know, this was quite a wake-up call, I think, for people. And add that to the fact that people didn't have the healthcare they were used to. They were stuck in their flat or whatever it was. And they had to look outside the box a little bit about what, and talk to other people about what they were doing to promote their own health and well-being. And so the whole status, in my mind, of health and well-being took a big step during those 2 or 3 years. And opportunities have come out of that crisis, funnily enough. And here we are. And I think, yeah, it is poised for much greater things. I'd love to hear how you see it.
Well, I will never forget ringing up my GP's surgery during COVID and hearing that voicemail saying, you know, this is how you get a test and this is how you, you know, deal with symptoms. And if you feel ill, do not come to the doctors.
Yes.
It's right. Like, great, thanks.
Thank you.
So, you know, yes, it did throw us all back on our resources. And it also taught us so many valuable lessons, you know, working on Zoom, working from home, not having to drive around the country or...
It wouldn't have happened, would it, without the crisis?
I don't think so. No. It was a...
You 10 know, years longer, I think.
I think it was a great thing. But I think politically at the moment, because when I started, the NHS cost about 108 billion. And I think on the last count, health and social care was up to 265 billion per annum. And so I think the healthcare elements of that were up at about 180. And so in that short period of time, healthcare expenditure has nearly doubled. And there's a lot of factors driving that, but the biggest is the rise in so-called lifestyle illnesses.
Yeah.
So we're talking cancer, heart, obesity, diabetes, all the arthritides, allergies, inflammatory conditions. And guess what? They all have the same cause. It just depends on your physiology, which one of those you get.
Right, yeah.
But this is the absolutely, you know, game-changing thing about having a health coach, because if you can address how you eat, how you sleep, exercise, the amount of love in your life, meaning, purpose, connection, belonging, you know, these are, in health creation, we go a bit further than lifestyle medicine. You know, they are addressing four or five of those parameters. We go a bit deeper into, as I say, meaning and purpose, spiritual connection, the impact of your environment, your physical space, your time in nature. But the big one Dean Ornish talks about, the great cardiologist who proved you can reverse coronary artery disease with lifestyle interventions, he proved categorically that it's the loving connection and belonging that is the most important variable. So yes, let's all eat, sleep, and do more exercise, but let's get ourselves out of isolation.
Right. Yeah, very much so. There's an epidemic of loneliness, basically, at the moment. And, you know, the power of groups to facilitate healing in a way that any amount of other interventions can't is now becoming apparent. And it's quite obvious why, when you take that thing that Dean Ornish showed there, well, that's what a group provides. It actually puts those things back in place again and makes you belong somewhere. So unsurprising in a way that they're so powerful, but it is nonetheless, I find it surprising that they're extraordinary things, you know, and they really do facilitate the most amazing things. It's kind of a shortcut almost.
Well, it's quite amazing. Going right back to the Bristol days, when I was there in the 80s and 90s, we had every week, we had a residential week where we had a group of a dozen people together on a journey, just 5 days. And sort of Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday was sort of all the grief and the pain and the hurt and the sadness coming out. But the group as a whole held each other and created a well of loving, compassionate attention and focus, which allowed the unspeakable to be spoken and, you know, allowed people to, in a way that it would have been hard for another person alone to hear, or people to feel brave enough to voice. But then we used to call it Wobbly Wednesday. By Wednesday, there was a bit of a wobble going on. But by Thursday, you know, we were up into thrilling Thursday and fabulous Friday, and by the time people left, they were saying, this has been the best week of my life. And it was all about, I mean, we had brilliant therapists and team, but it was all about that group process. So now in health creation, we're training the coaches to work with groups for that reason, and also because it makes it cheaper and more accessible.
Yeah, it's completely common sense medicine, yeah. Funny enough. Yeah. So look, we've only got a couple of minutes left, and I'm just thinking that some people listening may not be people who are interested in getting a coach because they've got cancer, but they might be interested in being a coach. So tell me a bit about that.
So every year we run the Health Creation Coaching and Mentorship Diploma. It starts in October every year. But this short course I'm running from January to March is a specialist module for people who know they want to coach people with cancer. And so if people want to get involved on either account, the website is healthcreation.co.uk. and to reach me and my team, support@healthcreation.co.uk.
Okay. And who's it open to?
The one after Christmas is 4 Saturday mornings and 4 practice sessions, is open to people who are already coaches or people who already work with people with cancer who have some grounding in this. So it's aimed at people who want to look after. It's not so much this course aimed at people with cancer so much as people who want to help people with cancer. Yeah. I, with my other hat on, my Dr. Rosie Daniel hat on, see people with cancer, and I'm available through my clinic to help people one-to-one who are trying to sort through the medical side of this whole process. But we're extremely keen to meet people who want to become coaches. And dear Isabella at UKIHCA has her vision is that coaching can be the beating heart of healthcare, but we can the team who triage. So rather than going straight into your GP, you'd see a coach to work out at what level you are ailing. Is it social? Is it emotional? Is it physical? Is it something about which you can do something yourself? So, you know, it could be a way of providing the integration that we all long for in our healthcare practitioners, to have coaches right there in the heart.
I think that, well, yes, I've heard Isabella speak about her vision, and I like it, because you're right, they could provide a kind of signposting portal that sends people to the resources they need, which is not going to happen if it's coming from just this one side that knows nothing much about it. You know, trying to get that to happen is a long shot.
Well, right back in my early GP training, it was spelled out that in terms of what people take to the GP, 50% of it is social, 25% psychological, and of the 25% physical, half of that is psychosomatic, so stress induced. So we get trained as doctors for about 12.5% of what we actually deal with.
No wonder they're overwhelmed, eh?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That there's such a mismatch between the need and the provision, and obviously this is what I believe. As you say, I've dedicated my life to it. Now I believe that if we had health coaches there at that first point of contact, people could get much more of the help they really, really need.
Okay, sounds good to me. We're going to have to end it there, out of time. Thanks so much. It's always interesting to hear your perspective on supporting people with cancer, Rosie, because of course you've been doing it so long. You've got such a wealth of experience, and you've given so much thought to the needs of people with cancer and how best we can meet them. So thank you very much indeed.
Well, I'm right back at you, Robin. I so admire what you're doing and the fact that you're still there after all this time, providing grants and help and support, and your beautiful communication policy for healthcare professionals. It's wonderful work that you do.
Great. Thank you. Bye.
Bye. Bye.
Do check out those resources that Dr. Daniel provided. And if you're someone with cancer, then do consider whether a coach could provide you with the support and direction that you need. Yes to Life has launched its Christmas Appeal, with a dedicated appeal website and a fabulous Christmas download for you should you contribute. Despite being a time of celebration and joy, it's a challenging time of the year for many. So there are also resources on the website for them. By supporting our appeal, you'll be helping us in our work to support and educate people across the UK in the many ways that they can improve their situations. So please do be generous. You can access the appeal website either directly at stockingsofhope.org, or from the Yes to Life website, that's yestolife.org.uk, and there's a link from the rotating banner that's right at the top of the homepage.
Thanks for listening today. I'll be back again next week to introduce another expert guest in the next Yes to Life show here on UK Health Radio. Goodbye.